It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Green Bay Packers fans, and welcome back. Welcome back to the studio, and welcome back to the Daily Draft brought to you by Badger State Brewing in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Gonna set that can of brewski right down next to Bobblehead Christian. Yeah, I've said it before. This is a draft recap show. Just want to thank everyone that came out. The reception that Andy and I received was incredible. Just the raw number of people there was incredible. And just so humbled by the amount of folks that wanted to come see us and ask us questions and have beers and talk ball. And that was really cool. Eclipsing, you know, the draft guide sale number that we did. That was pretty awesome as well. If I sound a little choked up, it's A, because I'm emotional, but B, because I'm literally choked up. We still haven't quite beaten this thing. Still kind of working through the Dayquil. At some point, I might go into a doctor and just see, you know, if I am actually dying. But as I mentioned at the show, like, I feel like $1 million. I just can't breathe. Like, energy is back up. No more shivers, no more cold, no more aches, no more pains, no more nothing. It's just occasionally when I talk for, an extended period of time, I have to cough, which is unfortunate because part of my job, unfortunately, here, certainly in the podcast / video space, is talking for an extended period of time, especially when I do not have a co-host. Okay. Draft recap show. So we did a day one recap. We did a day two recap. We did a day three recap. I tried to be very specific so that this show would have a different flavor. I tried to be very specific in that we just kind of talked on a high level about what they accomplished in each of those days, not as a whole. Today, we're going to talk about it as a whole. Tomorrow, should be able to talk about the UDFA crop, which there's some interesting stuff there. And then ultimately, you know, we'll do the special guest thing, hopefully later on in the week. Unless I can think of something, there might be a chance that we break the streak, though. There might be a chance that there is a day this week with no daily draft, unless I can come up with something to do. Hopefully I get, the special guest lined up right for Wednesday, because this is the first Monday in a long, long time where it's not Mock Draft Monday. It's just Monday. But super excited to kind of keep this going. It will not go on forever, but we're not dead yet. So as a whole, looking at the class as a whole, and we'll go through pick by pick real quick. And because I didn't touch on it a ton, I'm going to try and kind of dive into fit. Most of what I was doing when we did the day one, day two, day three recaps was, kind of going back into my notes, going back into my scouting reports, going back into what I may have said on a prospect primer video, getting into maybe somebody else's scouting report and, maybe understanding consensus of where this player was taken. I have a really cool thing out on packerreport.com right now for VIPs where, I kind of break down you know, the value, consensus value, as opposed to my value, as opposed to where the Packers take these guys. Now, ultimately, it's very meaningless. There have been and will continue to be players that I don't think Green Bay should have drafted that end up being awesome. And there will continue to be players that I wish they would have drafted that they don't. And that it all probably comes out in the wash. And I would guess, hopefully, right, that the Packers actually have a higher hit rate than I do. I would hope that that's the case. But just interesting, right, where, like, you know, I mentioned, you know, to me, and they both worked out. Again, it doesn't mean I'm, like, some super genius. But to me, you know, I got super, super excited in 2022 when my 55th overall player, J.J. Anabari, or Kingsley Anabari, was taken by the Packers late in the draft. And I got super excited when my 66th overall player, Carl Brooks, was taken by the Green Bay Packers super late in the draft. Brooks has arguably been a better player than Anikbari, but both have just beyond outshined pick 179 overall, which I believe is actually the pick that both of them were taken with. And again, like I said, like have completely outshined that pick. And for a while there in day three, like that wasn't the way things were going. And then boom, they did it twice with Michael Pratt and Kalen King. Kalen King will be easy to follow. If he cracks into the starting lineup as a nickelback or as a starting corner that's good, that's going to be easy to follow. If Michael Pratt's playing, something bad probably happened. So that one will be a little tougher to follow unless, you know, he does do what I said, which was he's the Matt Hasselbeck. Like if Pratt plays well for two consecutive preseasons, and you can convince somebody to part with a day two pick for him, well, that's turning a seventh round pick into a third. That's value added. Plus you had a decent backup for that long. Anyway, going through the picks real quick. And as far as fit, and then I'll kind of get into sort of what I felt like the general strategy was. And I haven't had a chance, although I did listen to Andy's recap, but I haven't had a chance to listen to what he and Pauline did today. I don't know how much we're stepping on top of each other, but Andy and I don't have like all the exact same takes either. So hopefully this is not repetitive. Hopefully there's value in this. Hopefully you guys enjoy it. Okay. So Jordan Morgan, I showed everybody this Twitter thread, that I had, put together back in March where, I mean, I'm not going to say anything other than I got super lucky, but I kind of walked everybody through, because it's a great offensive line class. It's a great offensive line class. It's a great offensive line class. And that very well may end up being true. I think there's every chance that it is a decent offensive line class. I think it's very possible. But for what the Packers have liked to do, historically, it wasn't. It just wasn't. But you look here, and for the audio listeners, I'll read what I said. So the dirty little secret is that it's actually not a strong class at the top unless the Packers go outside the structure of what they normally do, and they might. Let's take Joe Alt and Fashanu off the board. Neither's making it to 25, and the Packers with two starting quality tackles making no money seem unlikely to burn draft capital to trade up. Noted that Fashanu as a 6'6", 312, 95th percentile athlete is their archetype. I mean, Fashanu would have been an unbelievable addition to their group. Now let's take away all the potential tackles ranked on the consensus board, taller than 6'6.5", or heavier than 321. That removed Fuaga, Latham, Mims, Guyton, Suamataia, Paul, and Omega J. And I said, what's left? Fatanu, Barton, Jordan Morgan, Blake Fisher. Poked some holes in those. Fatanu, awesome player, would be a great Packer. Bakhtiari and Tom were both 6'4 and an eighth, and he is a half inch shorter than that, so probably a guard. 6'4 and a quarter. And Fashanu, I believe, was 6'3 and three quarters, so probably a guard. Barton, think he's a center. Finally, Morgan, really good player. Since 09, they've taken 9 players in the first two rounds from either the Pac-12 or the Mountain West, but he has shorter arms than Bulaga. Probably a guard. The probably was in italics because I'm not 100% sure. And then Blake Fisher, now we're outside guys with a round one or two grade. And this was the clincher, obviously. Their best and potentially only shot at an actual tackle in the top 58 is Arizona tackle Jordan Morgan. It's crazy how quick this class dries up from a Packers perspective. that was basically my feeling. I didn't show that to show you, oh my God, how, look how right I was. That was more, I always kind of knew Morgan was the guy because he's the only guy that does business the way they do business. So he's the only guy that fits what they do. Really even the top 150, I know people ask about Rosengarten. At the time that I did this thing, Rosengarten was not a consensus top 150 guy. He certainly got there and certainly got picked before that, certainly would have qualified. But Rosengarten also was not anywhere near where, Morgan was from consensus either. He certainly got inside the top 150, but he never got, you know, that much higher than that. So the Morgan pick made a ton of sense. I likened it to eating their vegetables, and Goody's been doing that a lot, right? You know, I can't think of the last time, or maybe ever, because Jair was so short and so out of left field. Maybe Savage, which ended up not necessarily being the best thing, but I can't remember the last time the Packers made a first round draft pick and people got super, super excited. I was really excited about the Devontae Wyatt pick, obviously very excited about the Christian Watson pick, which is not technically in round one, but a lot of it has just been, oh, well, that was Packersy. You know, not a lot of celebration, not a lot of jumping up and down. It's like, oh, that was Packersy. Rashawn Gary. A lot of people had hoped that they were going to take Brian Burns. They didn't. They took Rashawn Gary, and it's like, oh, that was really Packersy. LVN was the most Packersy pick, like, ever. Stokes was extremely Packersy, and it, again, a pick in Stokes that nobody got super jazzed about. Quay Walker, nobody got super jazzed about that pick. Jordan Love. Some, maybe there were folks that were super excited, but Jordan Love was also at the time like eating your vegetables. Oh, that's the smart thing for the future. Doesn't help this team a ton. That's very Packersy. Guys, there is every chance. And I don't know if I call it better than 50-50, but understanding the development track for offensive linemen, there's every chance that Jordan Morgan is not a week one starter, that they just roll the same five out that they had last year. Maybe somebody gets hurt. Someone probably will. Maybe he does win the left tackle job. Maybe he wins the right guard job. Maybe Zach Tom gets kicked inside to center and Morgan has to play right tackle. There are a number of options, but if you just put a gun to my head, what do I think it happens in Brazil? I think they roll the same five out there. You know, I think it's more likely that something else happens, but I think the most likely five, if I were to rank like likelihoods of the five, is just the five that they had last year. Again, it's taking your vegetables. It's the smart thing for the future, but not usually not the most exciting pick. Same thing with last year. The most exciting pick, at least for me, was Luke Musgrave. That was really exciting at 42. The exciting pick was not at 13. The pick at 13 was, oh, that's really Packersy, and that's what Goody did again. I think that happened again, by the way, with Edgerrin Cooper. I think the most exciting pick is Edgerrin Cooper. Now, I think they took my 49th overall player at 45. So, Ross, why are you saying it's the most exciting pick? Well, because Edgerrin Cooper is everything that they need. He can do so many things as a linebacker. He's the best QB spy maybe that I've ever scouted. Now, that's a very specific thing. And, you know, I think Caleb Williams is more of a extend the play annoying, you know, quarterback. Jared Goff's not going anywhere. And McCarthy, I think, is a decent athlete, but I bet it's more of a extend the play athlete as well. So it's not like the division has, you know, Jaden Daniels in it, or the division has, you know, Lamar Jackson in it. The division doesn't have, you know, these super athletes that you have to spy. But he's an unbelievable pass rusher as well. Been good in coverage, runs and hits. That, and that's been said so many times. It's run and hit, run and hit. And there are folks that think he's a top 15 player in this class. And I said it on my deal over at Packer Report today. You know, my ranking of him at 49, and I think Peyton Wilson at 47, it really has more to do with how much I don't value the linebacker position than them as players. I liked both guys quite a bit. And consensus definitely liked Cooper as the top guy, which is fine. I basically gave the exact same grade to Cooper and Peyton Wilson. But Cooper, I think, is the one, I think, without question, as much as I do like the Marshawn Lloyd pick, Cooper is the one that I think easily has the best chance at a Rookie of the Year opportunity. In fact, you know, there's a long time there where I think corner and pass rusher were, for whatever reason, positions that took a little bit longer, or maybe we didn't have just like as we didn't have as much, or we just didn't have pass rushers that were as ready to go. I don't know, or not quite as NFL ready. I don't know how else to kind of say it, but it's been a while since, and although Shaq Leonard was not that long ago, and I think Micah Parsons as a rookie actually played off the ball. But it's been a lot more pass rushers and defensive backs than in years past, right? Marcus Peters in 2015, Marshon Lattimore in 2017, Sauce Gardner in 2022. You talk about your pass rushers last year, Will Anderson, then Parsons, however you want to shake that one out, but then Chase Young before that, Nick Bosa before that, Joey Bosa in 2016, Aaron Donald in 2014. Just different, right? But before kind of that era, off-ball linebacker was a great option for defensive rookie of the year, because if the team needed you, you got a ton of opportunities, ton of tackles, ton of box score stats, make a couple splash plays here and there, you can be defensive rookie of the year. And getting a ton of tackles in this Jeff Hafley defense is definitely on the menu for Edgerrin Cooper. And making a couple splash plays here and there is sort of what he does. When I talk about the run of off-ball linebackers, and look, we might have just moved past that time in history. It's possible, but 2012, Luke Kuechly, 2009, Brian Cushing, 2008, Gerard Mayo, 2007, Patrick Willis, 2006, Texans head coach, D'Amico Ryans, 2004, Jonathan Vilma, 2001, Kendrell Bell, 2000, Brian Urlacher, like lots of off-ball guys winning defensive rookie of the year. But that, like I said, has kind of changed with how much of a passing league that it's become. You know, these off-ball guys aren't doing it, although Parsons is not that crazy of a comp for Cooper just from a play style perspective. Parsons is, I think, plenty of levels above Cooper, and certainly the way I graded them. But you look at the frequency and his ability to blitz. I'm talking about Cooper, and it's very Parsons-like. Again, length is very different. Overall quality of prospect is very different. But by and large, Cooper is a linebacker that you want going towards the quarterback, and that is very Micah Parsons-y. Again, I really hope people don't think that that's my comp for Cooper, because it's not. But as far as what you want him doing or what he showed he could do well, I mean, I think Cooper had – I'm not going to use the PFF stuff because that confuses people, because they don't do half sacks. So I'm going to do the official stats. But in the last 2 years, last year he had 17 TFLs and 8 of them were sacks. That's what I mean by Parsons-y. You should be going towards the quarterback. After that, I didn't have a late 2 on Bullard, but I have zero problem with it, especially when Goody started talking about flexibility. That's where I excuse me. That's where I, like, if you go back and read, interchangeability was the word that Brian used, and I wrote a piece with 6 dudes in it about who are these interchangeable defensive backs that he might target. Javon Bullard was one of the 6. And Evan Williams was thought about, but I did not have a high enough overall grade on Evan Williams to include him in that piece, so that's probably my fault. But I literally took Bullard's name and threw it into this piece about what the hell Goody might be talking about. I don't know what they're going to do with him. I think it's interesting. Do you replace Keyshawn? Because if you want to use Bullard as your primary nickel, well, you just took 2 safeties that can do, you know, the Joker breaks the stick thing in the billiards hall and just fight it out between Ketan Oladapo and Evan Williams and just say, okay, round 5, round 4, you two are fighting for the other safety spot. Javon's the new nickel. I don't think that's what they're going to do when you consider the amount of money that got paid to Keyshawn. But, Bullard basically went from a primary nickel, or the team's nickel, in 2022 on that national championship Georgia team, to an 80-20 free safety to other stuff split, or a 70-30 free safety to other stuff split. So he can do a ton of different stuff. His size, I don't know how much of the, like, overhang, box safety, matching up with tight ends, taking on blocks, stuff you want Javon Bullard doing, but he can do a ton of different stuff. And I think he's a very sensible fit. I think he's kind of, like I mentioned, another attempt at what they were maybe trying to do with Darnell Savage, but with a much smarter defensive coordinator in the building. I like the Bullard pick fine. Was it half a round higher than I had him graded? Yeah, but who cares? My rankings, that's why I don't get too bent out of shape unless it's like a round and a half or more. And I did get bent out of shape, and we can talk about that a little bit. But Javon Bullard was what Halfley wanted. Javon Bullard was how the Packers wanted to do business. So for them to take my 78th player at 58 when it's the guy they want for the spot they want, I don't care. That's fine. Would I rather have been Cole Bishop? Hell yeah. Yeah, but whatever. I mean, that's the guy they wanted, and he was a different kind of cat. Would I have been also cool if it was Tyke Smith? Absolutely. Okay, you want to get a different slot corner in there. Let's party. Okay. It's fascinating to see where like Bullard's first snaps come from in training camp. Fascinated.
Hey friends, you may not know this because usually you hear me talking about the Packers 365 days a year, but I'm actually a massive, massive fan of the NBA playoffs. And while I've always enjoyed NBA basketball, it's been taken to an entirely different level as I've been utilizing Prize Picks to test my skills and add to that excitement level of the NBA playoffs. Prize Picks is the most fun that I have ever had, winning up to 100 times my money, and there's never been a better time to join the Prize Picks community. Did you know that there's over 5 million members that have already downloaded the app? 5 million! This playoff season, star players are in play in a significant way. Keep an eye out for star players on the board, and you could receive a 10% payout boost if they're in your winning lineup. This week, I'm going with Brooke Lopez, Paul George, and Jalen Brunson for rebounds, points, and assists, respectively. And I'm already geeking out about putting Caitlin Clark's three-pointers made stat line in my lineup when women's season tips off in just over a month. Basketball plus Prize Picks equals epic excitement. So what are you waiting for? Download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. There is nothing quite like the thrill of live NBA playoff basketball this time of year. And if you haven't had the opportunity to catch a playoff game in person, let me just tell you, you are missing out. But you don't need to be. You could attend an NBA playoff game easily with the use of Game Time. Game Time is an authorized ticket marketplace of the NBA, which makes getting playoff tickets even faster and easier. And guess what? Prices actually go down the closer that you get to tip off. With killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, seat views, and their lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes all the awful, frustrating aspects of purchasing tickets out of the equation, and they help you get the perfect tickets that you want. I'm on my Game Time app right now, scrolling through Bucks tickets for Game 5, and not only are there plenty of great seats available, but the deals are incredible, and I can literally click and purchase any number of amazing deals right now. The best thing about Game Time is definitely the ease of use, no question about it, but their lowest price guarantee and their cancellation protection have come in huge for me in the past and are two more of my favorite features. Let me just say it again. The last minute deals come in clutch every single time. You can save up to 60% by buying last minute tickets for sports, concerts, comedy shows, and so much more. So get in on the action and take the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY, PACKADAY, for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Marshawn Lloyd, favorite pick of the draft. I think I might have even just said that about Adrian Cooper. Most exciting and favorite are different. And again, you're like, Ross, it took your 94th overall player at 91. Why is this so exciting? It's the fit, man. His speed, his ability. Like, I don't want to do A.J. Dillon dirty, but Marshawn's missed tackles forced compared to how A.J. Dillon does not force missed tackles. I wonder. Right? Like, it just the most night and day thing you've ever seen. I mean, people cannot get a hand on this guy. You know, Josh Jacobs with the jetpack, fast Aaron Jones. I like the DeAndre Swift comp that Peter Bukowski made. I think that makes plenty of sense. I think he can catch the ball out of the backfield, and he showed at the Senior Bowl. Just because he wasn't asked to do it doesn't mean he can't. And that's important. I mean, you got to understand that for a lot of Caleb Williams' career, he had both Brendan Rice and Jordan Addison. So, you know, little dump offs to the running back were not, you know, really what they did. Little handoffs against 5 and 6 man boxes were what they did. And Marshawn Lloyd ate him for breakfast. He's a really good fit, really good player. The Hopper pick I struggled with for a number of reasons, right? You know, I think by consensus, Hop was more of a 2-round reach. I had it worse than that. But even more than that was the fact that like a TJ Tampa was still on the board and other guys were still on the board. I would have waited to add a second off-ball linebacker until after we were out of top 100 picks. That was almost the most disappointing thing to me. Like anytime you take my whatever 207th overall player at 91, I am going to complain because that we sort of remove ourselves from the, well, it's, you know, it's their board, not mine. If I have any respect for myself as an evaluator, well, I'm going to just say I don't like the pick because I don't like the pick. I'm not going to give that grace on that much of a gap. Plus, again, like this team and for right or wrong would pair like an undrafted free agent with Jake Ryan, right? Like Chris Barnes and Jake Ryan and just throw them out there. Look at who the starting linebackers were for the Kansas City Chiefs. Talk to me about how important linebackers are. And I know they have Pat, but this is now three drafts basically, and you've taken three top 100 off-ball linebackers. I'm just never going to agree with that. Now, if it would have been Edgerrin Cooper and Peyton Wilson, who was available, by the way, I would have been like, oh, okay, whatever. I mean, I don't agree with it, but oh, I get it. Or Edgerrin Cooper and even Cedric Gray, I would have been like, oh, okay, well, I get it. With Tyron Hopper, I don't get it. And again, after the pick, I said, I got to go back and look at this 2022 tape that everybody's talking about, 2022 tape that everybody's saying is better, right? Wicks was better the year before his last year. Jordan Love was better the year before his last year. Jaden Reed was better the year before his last year. Luke Musgrave was better the year before his last year. Go look at the tape. And I did. And I watched like 4, 5, 6 games, posted some highlights, posted some clips, and thought, you know what? I probably would have ranked him somewhere between 140 and 170. Which is basically where like consensus is on him. And so it still would have not been anything that I would have done. Evan Williams, again, not anything I would have done. Just not anything I would have done. You know, we got excited because we thought it was TJ Tampa. A couple places posted that it was TJ Tampa. And I thought, oh man, like that completely makes up because I have a TJ Tampa 40th overall. And obviously the league doesn't feel the same way. But I also think Tampa's consensus was pretty close to where I had him, which doesn't mean the consensus is right, but that was not a crazy opinion, right, of Tampa. So I thought, well, what the heck? It's Tampa. They've hit corner. They've hit safety. They've hit linebacker twice. And then they got the vegetables and Jordan Morgan. Hell yeah, this draft is off to something. Then they take a safety. I have a 7th-round grade on. Now, I need to go back because he was, you know, another guy where hand up, I watched 3 games and moved on. Now, I watched a ton of Oregon defense, right? Because I watched the hell out of Dorless, paying lots of attention to Dorless, but I didn't feel like Evan jumped off the page even when I was watching Dorless. And I was like, I got to go watch more games. I've now formally requested from our friend Brennan Rupp which games I need to watch to believe in Evan Williams. And I wasn't that far off of, you know, consensus either. I know that I was lower than most people on Oladapo. I wear that. I get that. I understand that. And whatever, I'm not just going to agree with consensus. Otherwise, why even do the work? If I'm just going to, you know, agree with every other thing that's popular, why even do it? Why come talk to you guys? Why make a list? Why watch the tape? Why do any of it? Why would it even be, you know, important? This is taking too long. This is great radio. I'm trying to find. Here we go. Here's my list compared to consensus. So, like, I had not a great grade on Evan Williams, and consensus was at 197. So, again, 111 is 86 picks before that, or 76 picks before that. I can't even do math. My brain is just fried, but it's two rounds or more of a reach. But look, man, if he's good on special teams and he ends up being a starting box safety, if he ends up being Morgan Burnett, I'm super wrong, and I don't care. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. It is so infinitely more important to me that the Green Bay Packers are good and that these players turn out, or their plan for these players is smart, than I am right. Case in point, Jordan Love. The second he started playing well, I started posting highlights. I started posting positive advanced stats. I started whatever, believing the whole thing. Apologize for being wrong. Dude, if Evan Williams is like the third or fourth best rookie safety in the league and starts and plays 800 snaps next to Xavier McKinney, zero problem being wrong. Don't care. Sco Ducks. Shout out Justice. Do not give a S. Okay. After that, Jacob Monk. I get it now, man. Like I do. And I had a 6-round grade on Monk. So for them to take him at the end of round 5, do not care. Especially once you get that late. Do not care. Are there centers I would have taken? Hell yeah. Okay. And that's maybe part of why maybe I didn't love that choice, although I get it. High level academic, short, strong, quick. You know, he does a ton of things that they like, especially on the interior, the guys making the calls. Lucas Patrick went to Duke. This kid went to Duke. J.C. Treader went to Harvard or Cornell or some other such nonsense. They are plenty into that on the interior. With that said, after they took this kid, a bunch of centers that I liked better than him went. Now, does that matter? No. I mean, not necessarily, but if you're just asking why I care about the pick, you know, I would have taken Jalen Sundell, who did not get drafted. I think Drake Nugent didn't get drafted. I absolutely would have taken Bo Limmer over him. I thought there was one other one, but I'm not necessarily seeing it. And I know like Jake Stack would have taken the Nick Gargiulo or the guy with the Italian last name, him, you know, Tommy DeVito's boy there. But yeah, Sundell for sure. Bo Limmer for sure. And, again, like I think my guy Drake Nugent didn't even get drafted, but I totally see what they see in Jacob Monk, and I have zero problem with the pick. I understand what they're thinking. I think they think he can play guard in a pinch. I think they're not going to let him play tag at all, and I think they're thinking he is just another option. Like if we don't want to displace after the season, we let Josh Myers walk unless he has this awesome year and we have to do an extension, but whatever. After this season, we let Josh Myers walk. What's our next step? Is it moving Zach Tom in? Is it bumping Elton Jenkins over? Well, if it's neither of those things and we want those two guys to remain, you know, versatile pieces that are not snapping the ball, can Jacob Monk in year two be the starter? Yeah, sure. Like Jacob Morley was saying, reminded him of Lindsley. I'll buy that. I think he's a better athlete than Lindsley, to be honest with you. I just thought he was so small. And that would limit kind of what teams thought his upside was at the next level. 6'3", flat, not particularly long arms. He's a center, man. I don't even see the guard flexibility, but we'll see. Because I guarantee you he'll play more than one position in the – I shouldn't guarantee that. I think he'll play more than one position in the preseason. So that's where I think he fits. Excuse me. Then Ketan Oladapo. Huge difference here. Huge difference between myself, who did not like him. I thought he was stiff. I thought he was a special teams guy, to be honest with you. I have concerns, excuse me, about whether or not he'll be able to play any defense. But I would say picking him in the 5th round, they disagree, or they're at least going to give him a shot. And I would say consensus, this was definitely my biggest probably departure from consensus, because consensus on Oladapo was 144. So they had him as a value. They had him as basically a full round, quote unquote, steal, where I had this as another reach. Again, it doesn't matter, especially as you get this deep into the draft. And you'll see kind of in the math, and look, the math is nothing but theoretical in the piece that I did today. But, you know, missing in round 1, 2, or 3 is so much different than missing in round 5, 6, and 7. And frankly, there's no such thing as missing in round 6 and 7. It's like an 8 or 9 or 10% hit rate, guys, which means three, because there's 32 teams, like three guys around. So you get that late, the idea of a reach or a steal becomes kind of nuts. Now, the guys that I've thought, and again, it's not, oh, Ross, you're so smart. The two guys that I've thought were just ridiculous steals in the super late 170s, and Carl Brooks and JJ Anubare were. And I hope, you know, at least one of the two guys that I feel the same way about coming up here are the same. Okay, Travis Glover didn't get this one at all, but again, it's round six. I did not rank Travis. I ranked 296 players. I did not rank Travis. Showed out at the Senior Bowl. Not the kind of athlete they normally take. I think he was 276 by consensus, again, which is not draftable. It's 255 picks, 257 picks. But, excuse me, they liked him. I'm not going to sit here and say I know more, especially not than the Packers. They're unbelievable on the offensive line. All, you know what? The other pick like that was Sheed, actually. So I would even throw Sheed in with the Enigbare and the Carl Brooks, where I had Sheed is like 93 overall. And they took him almost at the end of the draft, and he ended up working out. So the steals thing is real. There are 6th and 7th rounds. I know this makes no sense. There are 6th and 7th round steals. There are no 6th and 7th round busts. They do not exist. They're not real. Okay. Again, the Glover pick was kind of whatever. I actually like Donovan Jennings quite a bit more. The kid from USF or UCF, I think it's USF, 6'4", super athlete, played left tackle, clamped Dallas Turner when they played Alabama. He was heavy for them, 6'4". I think they're going to try and make him a guard. I think he can make it. I had a pretty reasonably higher grade on Donovan Jennings than I did on Glover, but it doesn't matter. One of them will make the team, and you know, whoever it is going to be, it's going to be. Again, we're really late. I'm not going to be critical of 6th and 7th round picks. I will get excited about them because of the Sheed thing, because of the Carl Brooks thing, and because of the JJ Anigbare thing.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Michael Pratt, easily my best value in the draft. Again, I'm a little higher on him. I think he was consensus like 124, 125. I had him as like a late 60s guy. Then Arif scared me a little bit, and I watched a little more, and I bumped a few position players up ahead of him. But for me, clearly, like my grade, and this is going to sound nuts, my actual grade on Michael Pratt is really not that different than my grade on Bo Nix, and it's really not that different than my grade on Michael Penix. I mean, the way that I had these quarterbacks stacked, I had May and Caleb in a stack, not that far behind them. I had Jaden Daniels, a reasonable length, but still with a first round grade behind Jaden Daniels. I had JJ McCarthy. Then there's a pretty decent sized gap to Bo Nix. Then there was a little gap to Michael Penix. And then there was kind of a similarly sized gap to Pratt. Then it widened because I am not a huge Spencer Rattler guy. But whether you're close to that 124 number, 127, actually, I'm looking at it now, or you're where I am, where you give him a strong round three, and I did, I give him a strong round three, and you think, like, I think Michael Pratt can be, you know, the 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 28th best starter in the league, or the first, second, third, fourth best backup in the league, somewhere in that realm, you know, catch lightning in the bottle, and you got Kirk Cousins. And I mean lightning in a bottle, like not the Kirk Cousins things where he's like, it's not common. Okay. That's not the expectation. You get a lot more Matt Corral, right? You get a lot more Jimmy Clausen than you get Kirk Cousins. That's a much more likely thing. Even honestly, if Michael Pratt could have Andy Dalton's career, that would be sweet. Okay. We failed the coughing test mightily. So, you know, I think the idea for them with Pratt, I have him as a completely different tier as a prospect than Clifford. Brian said he wanted to add another quarterback to the room. Not a great day to be Alex Magoo. I've seen some projections that have Pratt and Love as the only two quarterbacks on the roster. By the way, my 53-man roster prediction is live over at Packer Report. I'm not ready to go there. I'm not. I think at least for 1 year, they'll keep all three. Unless they can find a trade partner for Clifford at the end, I would not move on from Michael Pratt with him under a 4-year contract. I would not. I think he's that good. I really do. I mean, like I said, I think he can be a bottom third starter in the league or a top 4 or 5 backup in the whole league. That's what I think of that kid. Okay. And then finally, I shouldn't have called probably Marshawn Lloyd my favorite pick of the draft, because it wasn't. Kalen King was my favorite pick of the draft. It's been talked about ad nauseum. Kalen King was a projected top 40 guy. Many of the way too early 2024 mock drafts after last college football season had Kalen King in round one. I'm sure with some of the questions that the Packers have had at cornerback, although they did have Rasul Douglas on the team at the time, King was probably mocked to Green Bay early. and then just did not have the 2023 season that he would have hoped. And then did not run super well, though he did improve his time at Penn State's pro day. Ultimately, some of those athletic limitations are fine for me because the way he tackles, the way he plays the ball, the way he has the awareness that he plays with, the way he plays the ball in the air, I'm willing to forgive some of those physical faults, and I'm willing to just play him at nickel where some of those physical faults can get hidden. And everybody knows how I feel about playing Keyshawn on defense. I would like that to stop. I personally would install Kalen King as the nickel tomorrow. They will not do this, guys. They won't. They won't do it. But Kalen King, I think, is a 10-year nickel in this league. For that reason, I ranked him in my top 85. For that reason, I gave him a third-round grade. I don't think he can hold up at outside corner, but I don't care. I think he is a 10-year nickel in this league. Ball skills, tackling ability. Bill Belichick saw him against Marvin Harrison Jr. and just said, oh, yeah, King, he's a good corner. Look, Bill had some struggles as a GM, but Bill knows a defensive back when he sees one. I mean, obviously, or arguably, Bill Belichick is the greatest defensive backs coach of all time, if it's not Pete Carroll. One of those two is that guy. And I'm not saying that that's the entire reason, especially since it happened like as the draft was going on, why I'm in on King. But if they would have taken King at 91 after taking Marshawn Lloyd at 88, I would have been thrilled. I would have been truly thrilled. Okay, overall vibe of this class, I think they think they're good. And there are a number of things that kind of go into that. I mentioned, you know, I'll pull up another one of my tweets here. It's not even really my tweet because I said that we'd discuss it on yesterday's daily draft, and we did. But the Packers did not do what they normally do from an RAS standpoint. And it's not that they took a bunch of bad athletes, because they didn't, but they did not take the, crazy swings that they have in the past. They did not take the unbelievably, you know, high home run hacks that they normally have. Now, I think, you know, 99.25 in Jordan Morgan, a 9.13 in Edgerrin Cooper, and certainly a 9.74 in Jacob Monk are those home run swings. Although I think Morgan and Cooper have pretty high floors as well. But you'll see a lot of guys that are rocking through like that 8.25 range, 8.2 Evan Williams, 8.18 Katano Ladapo. By the way, there's a lot of guys in this class that are older than folks that they would normally do business with. part of that's NIL, part of that's the pandemic. But I think these guys are ready to play. I think they think these guys are ready to play. I think they were willing to understand how many home runs it looks like they hit in the last two classes. And I think they went, hey, we have 11 picks. If we can hit six doubles, if we can hit five doubles, we're going to win a championship sometime in our little window here. Let's not necessarily try to hit the home run, although I think Edgerrin Cooper is potentially a home run swing. And I think they could have something really special in Marshawn Lloyd. But again, how important are running back and linebacker? That's a viable debate. I think they thought if we can go 5 for 11 and hit some doubles here, we can win a championship. We're going to take some 22-year-olds. We're going to take some 23-year-olds. We're going to take some guys that can help us now. And the other theme of this thing, too, is as much as, you know, all respect to Zane Anderson, all respect to Dallin Leavitt, all respect to Welch and to Wilson, this was a special teams draft, which I am not a huge fan of. I would like you to build your offense and your defense through the draft and sort of use the guys that are on the bottom of that offensive and defensive plan and give them to your special teams coordinator. That's why you draft the super athletes, so they can run down and hit people on special teams. With that said, I think Tyron Hopper is going to be a special teams assassin tomorrow. Same with Evan Williams. Same with Oladapo. Like, I think those guys are just going to run down and hit people and do it in a big-time way. If they don't think Edgerrin Cooper is too important for the defense, he's going to really kill people on special teams. I think that was a huge focus of this class, and I think you can use Javon Bullard a little bit. He doesn't have the crazy height, weight, speed stuff, right? But yeah, that's the difference. I think a big theme of this class is the special teams, how they can be helpful on special teams. But man, this is as talented as they've been in a long time. Other than you can definitely talk yourself into some bad things happening at the cornerback position, I don't see a lot of holes on this roster. You know, Andy was talking about, guys know I respect and love Andy, but Andy was like, well, the offensive line is two injuries away from having some question marks. So is everybody else's, man. They had a really good offensive line last year and added a first-round pick to it and added an Andre Dillard, whatever you think that's worth. But, I mean, they're in a better spot than they were last year when they had a pretty good situation. The quarterback, that's an easy one, and I think that room got better. The running back room is better than last year's. I can hear all this Aaron Jones hate raining down upon me. Guys, Aaron Jones never even got close to a rushing title. And I know that's not the most important thing in the world, but Josh Jacobs at his peak is a better player than Aaron Jones. And theoretically, being 3.5 years younger, he's closer to his peak. And I know we don't know that he carries the G the way that Aaron did, but the odds are Josh Jacobs is going to be a better player in 2024 than Aaron Jones. Those are the odds. A.J. Dillon is still A.J. Dillon. And the gap in talent between Marshawn Lloyd and Emmanuel Wilson, Patrick Taylor, Kenyon Drake, whomever, is, in my opinion, astronomical. The wide receivers can all take a jump forward or just stay healthy, for God's sake. The tight ends should take a jump forward. I already talked defensive or offensive line. You still have guys that are on development track on the edge. Lucas Van Ness can and should get better. Devontae Wyatt can and should get better. Carl Brooks can and should get better. Colby Wooden can and should get better. There's room for Enagbare to improve. There's no way the defensive line should get worse. The linebacker room got way better. And the secondary got way better. It's an exciting time to be a Packers fan. Guys, thank you so much. Follow me on Twitter or X, as it were. I'm at Ross Uglum. Thank you for buying the draft guide. I'm not going to ask you to do it now. I don't even know if the store is still up, to be honest. Do everything you're supposed to do here on the Packaday podcast. Like, subscribe, click the bell, get the notifications so that you can get every single ounce of Packers content that you require on a daily basis. Have a great Monday, guys. Go Pack, go!